Welcome back to the podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Monica, host of From Heartbreak to Healed. I'm a life coach for women. I'm a wife, a mama, a granny, and a Christian. I help women turn their heartbreak into joy. After walking my own infidelity journey, it has become my passion to help guide you on your journey. This podcast is for the woman who is ready to heal her heartbreak and find joy on the other side. Let's get started. Today we're going to talk about five signs that you're not being the hero of your infidelity story. So, what do I mean by that? I feel like there's two characters that we get to be in this story. We get to either be the hero or we get to be the victim. And we are the only ones that get to decide. It's not our betrayer's actions or decision whether or not we're the victim or the hero. We are the ones that get to decide how we show up for this story in our life, how we show up for this roadblock in our life, how we show up for our healing. And eventually, if you choose the hero path, then you get to go on and become a mentor. And that's the path I chose. I chose to be a hero of my infidelity story, and eventually it led me to being a mentor. But I see so many women get stuck in victim mode. And what happens when we get stuck in victim mode is we see everything through the lens of, this is happening to me, instead of this is happening for me. And it takes conscious effort. It takes making a decision. It takes making choices that keep us on that path when we decide to be the hero of our infidelity story. So let's talk about five signs that might be present, and I'm not saying they're all going to be present. Maybe you have one of them, maybe you have a couple of them, maybe you have all five, that might be an indicator for you that you're not choosing the hero path on your infidelity journey. So, number one, and I'm calling this one self-doubt over self-worth. Listen, I get it. Self-doubt is easier. It's the easier path to take. It just comes naturally when the one person that we are supposed to be able to fully trust betrays us. There's going to be doubt and there's going to be a lot of self-doubt. And so if you are in a place where you are constantly questioning your worthiness or you're blaming yourself for his actions, it's a sign that you're not acknowledging your inherent value, that you're not acknowledging your worth, that you're not acknowledging that you are worthy of a committed and faithful partner. You aren't defined by someone's actions at all, ever. And it takes a lot of work to keep our worthiness intact after something like this. So if you're spending more of your time in self-doubt, wondering, questioning what you could have done differently, how you could have prevented it, even asking why it happened, those are all signs you're in self-doubt. And so if you're spending the majority of your time in self-doubt over self-worth, you are taking the victim path. And we want you to get on the hero's journey. The second one is silencing your voice. I did this for a very, very long time. For years, I did this. And when you do that, you're minimizing your feelings. You're suppressing your need for honesty and transparency in the relationship. And you're saying that your emotions aren't valid. You're saying your voice doesn't matter. And I want to remind you that your emotions are valid. Your voice does matter. And if someone's trying to silence your truth, or they're trying to tell you your feelings aren't actually your feelings, that's a red flag. And that's a sign that you're silencing your voice. And I understand why we do this, because it's often easier to silence our voice than to fight the fight, than to stick up for ourselves, than to put up boundaries to say, no, if we're going to continue this relationship after what you've done, here's what you're going to have to do to me to prove that you are trustworthy, that you are committed. But that's hard work. And it's easier sometimes to just stay quiet and pretend like it didn't happen. I silenced my voice for 10 years. For 10 years, I kept quiet. I didn't tell my mom. I didn't tell my sisters. Over time, I told 3 friends because I needed their help at certain times. But for 10 years, I carried my experience on my shoulders all by myself. And while that's my story, and my story has turned out to be great and fine and amazing and wonderful, I sometimes wonder if I could go back, would I do it the same again? I don't know. Maybe I would. Silencing my voice for 10 years kept my family intact for 10 years longer. So maybe. But I just wonder how long I will have to pay the price for silencing my voice. Physically, mentally, emotionally, you know, there are still parts of my body I'm healing and working to heal. And I can't help but wonder if they wouldn't need healed if I hadn't had to carry this emotional pain by myself for so long. And I also think about the kind of mom my kids missed out on because I didn't stand up for myself and I didn't create boundaries. I don't know. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Silencing our voice makes us a victim. And I don't want to be a victim to my story. I want to be the heroine. And when I learned to turn on my voice, the joy in my life increased radically. Number 3. Sorry, I didn't know I was going to get emotional on that last one. Number 3 is ignoring red flags. Listen, I was the master of this, and I bet you're pretty good at it too. And I think it depends on your experience. You know, I've shared openly that I had lots of infidelity in my marriage. It wasn't just a one-time thing. And so there were opportunities for a lot of red flags, and I ignored all of them. And I think there's a connection between silencing your voice and ignoring red flags, because if you're silencing your voice, you're probably also going to ignore the red flags. And so I want you to just ask yourself, like, have I been turning a blind eye on warning signs or even intuition that something was off in the relationship, or maybe that there was another bout of infidelity and you've been just ignoring the signs so that you don't have to face it? Because listen, if we don't face it, we don't have to feel all of it. But I'm not so sure, looking back now, that the feelings that come with ignoring the red signs is any better of a feeling than the feelings of acknowledging the infidelity. None of them feel good. One, and I have talked about this on the podcast, I think I have a whole episode on it, but one of the most powerful things you can do on this healing journey is learning to trust your instincts or your intuition. And that is such a powerful act of self-preservation. And I even had a therapist say that to me one time because I had gotten to this place where honestly, I just thought I was going crazy. I thought I was losing my mind. And so I went to a therapist and I'm like, listen, I think I'm going nuts. Like I'm seeing everything now as a red flag. Now I'm doubting everything. And now I'm wondering about everything and trusting nothing. And I just don't know even how to like decide should I be worried about this? Is this an action that he's, you know, is he hiding something here? And that therapist said to me, Monica, you've lost your ability to trust your gut. And your gut is right 99% of the time. So what we need to do is get you back to trusting your gut. Our intuition is there. And most of the time, I think our intuition is divine. It's coming from the Holy Spirit. And when we can learn to step back in tune with it, we become much more self-aware, but just much more aware in general. And when you do that, it leads you towards empowerment and healing. And when I talk about the hero's journey, and I talk about that word hero, I have taken each of the letters of hero and I've written out words to go with each one of things that I want when I'm thinking about what do I want women to experience when they work with me? Like what exactly does it mean to be the hero? One of the words that comes up is empowered. Like I want women to be empowered to know you can heal from this. You can save your marriage if you have a willing partner. You can create an even better life after infidelity if that's what you want. Like that you get to be in the driver's seat of how this story turns out. But if we're ignoring the red flags, we're not empowered. And we're at the mercy of our lack of willingness to unsilence our voice and create real change in ourselves and in our relationship. Okay, number four, this one I was like, did I do this? How much did I do this? Number four is prioritizing forgiveness over healing. I can tell you there was a bit where I was so focused on forgiving because I thought forgiving was healing. And it's not. It's a portion of your healing. It is not the healing. You don't get to a place where if I forgive, I'm healed. No. You can get to a place where when you forgive, it helps you heal. But the opposite can be true. Also, when you decide to heal, it helps with the forgiveness. And so we can't get so focused on thinking, I have to forgive my partner, that we step outside of the healing part of this, because you have to have both. And sometimes I think, especially if we're trying to reconcile the marriage, or we're to the place where we're like, okay, I just need to forgive him so that then we can go on and have a great marriage, we get so focused on that forgiveness part that we forget that we also have to heal. There is trauma in infidelity, and we have to heal that trauma. Trauma doesn't just go away. And I think that's something I didn't understand until just recently when I really started, when I started learning how to heal trauma and what trauma, you know, does to the body. And when I was going through the meat of my healing journey, I didn't understand how important it was. I just somehow knew. There again, I was following my intuition, but I knew I needed to work on my healing. So forgiving the betrayer should never come at the expense of your well-being. So if you are having to lose some of your convictions, maybe lose some of your values in order to forgive, then that's coming at too high of a cost for you. And that's not where you need to be focusing your time and your energy. So if you are, so here's the thing. If you are prioritizing forgiveness, but at the same time, you're not also addressing the wounds that come from infidelity and establishing healthy boundaries, you are denying yourself the opportunity for true healing. And if there's anything I want more next to having an amazing, close, tight-knit family from, you know, creating this amazing, tight-knit family, if there's anything else I want more after my family and my marriage, is I want true healing for every woman who has ever experienced infidelity. I want you to feel what I have felt. I want you to experience what I have experienced. I want you to create the kind of life that I have been able to create for myself after walking infidelity. And we cannot do that if we get so focused on forgiveness that we forget about the healing part, because they are two separate things. And the very last sign that you might not be in your hero mindset is perpetuating the blame game. If you find yourself shouldering the blame, thinking if you change, or if you change, it won't happen again. He only cheated because you gained the 15 pounds. And if you had been more like her, maybe you got a boob job and you did your makeup differently and you went to the tanning bed and you got, if you have any thoughts like that, that cross your mind, it's a sign that you aren't holding them accountable for their actions. And here's the thing. When you don't hold them accountable for their actions, you actually do a disservice to yourself and to them, because they have to heal too. Hurting people hurt people. And when someone betrays you, there is some underlying hurt inside of them as well. You deserve honesty. You deserve respect. You deserve a partner who takes responsibility for their choices. And when you put the blame on yourself, you just give them a scapegoat to their own healing. And if they don't heal too, I'm sorry to say, but they'll do it again. It's really easy to assume something's wrong with us when our partner is unfaithful. Really easy. It's harder to believe that it is actually something to do with them than it is to us. And that is the work of a hero. That is the work of an empowered mindset. That is the work of a healing mindset. When you step into your hero mindset, your hero's journey, as I like to call it, of your infidelity story, you don't step into it because it's the easier path. It's actually harder. It requires more work. It requires more intention. It requires more commitment. But it also gives you the greatest results. I want to share a little story with you. I was listening to a coaching call. I'm in a coaching program as well. I have a coach. I've had the same coach since 2019. And someone else was getting coached. It's a group program, and someone else was getting coached. And this particular woman had experienced infidelity in her marriage 15 years ago. She was still struggling. 15 years later, her husband was unfaithful. They divorced. He ended up marrying the woman he was unfaithful with. They have children together, so they're still co-parenting. And 15 years later, she's still getting coaching on the ex-husband, the infidelity. Like she is still carrying that pain with her. And a couple things. One, my heart ached for her because that could have easily been me. And number two, I don't want that to be you. And I'm not saying that this happened to me and I'm healed and I have zero issues. Like I don't ever have something come up where I'm triggered or some pain resurfaces. That's not what I'm saying. I actually had some pretty intense pain watching a TV show recently I had to work through, and I'll share that with you soon. But I could just tell that this woman, nobody showed her how to be the hero. Nobody was walking ahead of her saying, come this way. This is the hero's journey, and I want you to take this path. And so that's why I'm here. And that's why I keep showing up, because I want you to follow the hero's journey path. And I'm going to show you the way. Infidelity is not a reflection of your worthiness or your lovability. It's a reflection of the other person's character and choices. And when we can recognize these signs that we talked about today and embrace your role as the hero of your own story, your own narrative, you get to reclaim your power. And you get to create a future that is defined by resilience, authenticity, and self-love. I cannot think of a better way to live. A future defined by resilience, authenticity, and self-love. Who doesn't want that kind of future? Posting a free masterclass on Wednesday, May 1st at noon Eastern, called The Art of Loving Yourself Well After the Affair. And we're going to talk exactly about this: resilience, authenticity, self-love. I'm going to teach you the tools that I used to create resilience in my life, to become the most authentic version of myself, to create radical self-love. And I'm going to share it all with you. And I want you to be there. I want you to register, because even if you can't make it live, you will get the replay. So go to the show notes, click on the link, get registered for the masterclass, and be sure to show up live if you can, because we have a really amazing bonus coming at the end. But if nothing else, if you enjoy the podcast, you're going to love the masterclass, because it's like a deeper dive than the podcasts are. And so I am looking forward to seeing you there. That wraps up today's episode. I would love for you to leave a rating with a review. Be sure to check out the show notes for all the other ways that you can hang out with me. If you're looking for more one-on-one help in your healing journey, I'm opening a few more spots for coaching. You'll get 12 weeks of one-on-one coaching with me, specific to your needs. You will also get a copy of my Joy Creator Journal, which is literally worth its weight in gold. Fill out the interest form in the show notes and I'll be in touch. Let's get you on the path to creating massive amounts of joy. Much love, Monica. And remember, joy comes in the morning.